Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr. and Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
The postponement of the Tokyo Olympics has created a big problem for buyers of millions of tickets to the 2020 Summer Games. The games were delayed because of travel restrictions and coronavirus public safety measures. But many questions remain for people who planned to go. Tokyo organizers and the International Olympic Committee say the games will open on July 23, 2021. The competition schedule remains largely unchanged. More information is not expected until later this year and early next year as officials react to the developments in the COVID-19 health crisis. Olympic events are often listed as sold out, but only half the seats are filled because some people who are given tickets or special passes do not show up. 4 years ago in Rio de Janeiro, IOC member Patrick Hickey of Ireland was arrested for scalping tickets. Scalping takes place when a person buys tickets to an event and tries to resell them at higher prices. Hickey claims he is innocent. Japan has passed an anti-scalping law because of the Tokyo Olympics, although the law has several loopholes. Olympic tickets for residents of Japan were sold through the local organizing committee. The committee says refunds for the postponement will be carried out no earlier than this autumn. However, refunds are more complex for foreign buyers. That is because people outside of Japan buy tickets through authorized ticket resellers, appointed by national Olympic committees. These groups can add a 20% fee on tickets. They can combine desirable tickets with package deals at high-end hotels. They also set the foreign currency exchange rates. In Brazil 4 years ago, CoSport, the ticket reseller for the United States, used a currency exchange rate that raised ticket prices. Authorized ticket resellers have different conditions for returning money for unused tickets. Christopher Chase is a lawyer based in New York. He looked at the terms and conditions set out by Tokyo organizers about ticket use. He said those terms appeared to cover the coronavirus pandemic. But he noted that local organizers had already promised to refund buyers for the postponement, as have many official resellers. The Associated Press talked to many ticket buyers about their plans through email. Andrew Pham is a financial trader in Spokane, Washington. He has spent $2,500 on tickets and still plans to go to Tokyo next year. I would say at this point, no one should be buying or holding any tickets that they couldn't afford to lose, he said. Pham said he thinks that CoSport will be unlikely to return money if the Olympics are canceled. Sharon Del Pilar works as a stage manager in Las Vegas. She has spent $800 on tickets and looks forward to going to the Olympics. I'm willing to run the risk. I trust all efforts will be made to work things out, she said. Thomas Armbrustmacher of Michigan said he has spent almost $1,000 on tickets and is also taking a chance. I am willing to take the risk that I will not get a ticket refund, he wrote. Brandon Nagata works for the state of Hawaii in Honolulu. He said he spent about $3,400 on tickets and had returned some of them for a refund, although he had to pay a service fee. He still plans to attend. Tokyo organizers say at least 70% of the 7.8 million tickets were saved for buyers in Japan. About 4.5 million tickets have been sold to Japanese residents. Ticket sales are expected to be worth at least $800 million to local organizers. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Scientists say they have rediscovered in Africa a small creature related to the elephant that disappeared about 50 years ago. The mouse-sized animal called the Somali Sengi is also known as an elephant shrew. It is distantly related to elephants, aardvarks, and manatees. Researchers say sightings of the Somali Sengi species had not been reported for at least 50 years. But a search team led last year by international wildlife experts found that the animals were alive and well in the small East African country of Djibouti. The team recently reported its results in the publication PeerJ. Although the species was only known to live in Somalia, the researchers had received information that it might also be in Djibouti. Scientists thought the Somali Sengi had disappeared in the 1970s. There are only 39 individual specimens held in natural history museums around the world. Those individuals were the only physical evidence that the animal had ever existed. The Global Wildlife Conservation Group had included the Somali Sengi on its 25 Most Wanted Lost Species list. Hussein Rayela is with the Association Djibouti Nature. he helped lead the search operation. In Djibouti, he said they met local people who were able to identify the animal from pictures. Raella said he too had seen Sengis during his 21 years of doing field work in the country. But he and other researchers could never make an official identification. Without formal documentation, the species of the Sengis in Djibouti was unknown, he told the French news agency AFP. The team set up more than 1,250 traps filled with peanut butter, oatmeal, and yeast in 12 places. The researchers reported they caught a Somali Sengi in the first trap they set. It was amazing, said Stephen Heritage, a researcher with Duke University's Lemur Center in Durham, North Carolina. When we opened the first trap and saw the little tuft of hair on the tip of its tail, we just looked at one another and couldn't believe it. Heritage noted that a number of small mammal searches since the 1970s had failed to find the Somali Sengi in Djibouti. It was serendipitous that it happened so quickly for us, he said. For Raella, the find was not all that surprising. For us living in Djibouti and, by extension, the Horn of Africa, we never considered the Sengis to be lost, he said. But this new research does bring the Somali Sengi back into the scientific community, which we value. The team also included global elephant shrew expert Galen Rathburn, who had studied the creatures for many years. But Heritage said Rathburn had never before seen a live Somali Sengi. So when he opened the first trap and looked over at me, and he had seen the cute tufted furry tail of the animal, he looked at me and said, "I can't believe it, I've never seen one before," Heritage told AFP. Rathburn died of cancer shortly after the trip. The researchers collected 12 specimens of the animal. They said their study proves that the Somali Sengi is currently extant and lives far beyond the boundaries of Somalia. The team is planning a new search to learn more about the species, which it believes could be living across Somalia, Djibouti, and Ethiopia. The researchers are not able to estimate the size of the population, but they believe the animals are doing well. All the local people knew about this, so it could not be rare in any way, Heritage said. Finding a large living population differs greatly from most organized rescue attempts involving endangered species, said Robin Moore of Global Wildlife Conservation. Usually, when we rediscover lost species, we find just one or two individuals, she said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Are you at risk of getting seriously ill from the new coronavirus? Here are some things to keep in mind. 80% of coronavirus cases are mild. Young and healthy people are at low risk. Other people and those with serious health conditions have a greater risk of serious illness or even death. If you have a cough, fever, and difficulty breathing, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the World Health Organization website at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
From VOA Learning English, this is The Making of a Nation, American History in Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The United States became a nation in 1776. Less than a century later, in the 1860s, it was nearly torn apart. A civil war took place. The only one in the nation's history. States from the North and the South fought against each other. The conflict involved the right of the South to leave the Union and deal with issues, especially the issue of slavery, in its own way. We examine how the Constitution survived this very troubled time in American history. The Civil War was fought from 1861 to 1865. 600,000 men were killed or wounded. In the end, the slaves were freed, and the Union was saved. Abraham Lincoln was president during the Civil War. He said, "The Southern states did not have the right to leave the Union." Lincoln firmly believed that the Union was permanent under the Constitution. In fact, he noted that one of the reasons for establishing the Constitution was to form a more perfect Union. His main goal was to save what the Constitution had created. One cannot truly understand the United States without understanding its Constitution. The document describes America's system of government and guarantees the rights of its citizens. The power of the Constitution is greater than any president, court, or legislature. In the coming weeks, we will tell the story of the United States Constitution, including the drama of its birth in Philadelphia in 1787. Before we do, however, we want to look at how the document provides for change without changing the basic system of government. If you ask Americans about their Constitution, probably the first thing they will talk about is the Bill of Rights. These are the first 10 changes to the Constitution. These 10 amendments have the most direct effect on people's lives. The Bill of Rights guarantees freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of the press. In fact, all of those and more, including the right to peaceful assembly, are contained just in the First Amendment. The second one states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Other amendments say that people in criminal cases cannot be forced to make statements against themselves and have a right to a speedy and public trial by a jury. The Bill of Rights also deals with the separation of powers between the federal government and the states. In the words of the Tenth Amendment, The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, powers belong to the states unless the Constitution gives them to the federal government or prevents the states from having them. The Bill of Rights was not part of the document signed at the convention in Philadelphia in 1787. The delegates believed that political freedoms were basic human rights. Some of the delegates thought it was unnecessary to express these rights in a constitution. Most Americans, however, wanted their rights guaranteed in writing. This is why most states approved the new constitution only on the condition that a Bill of Rights would be added. This was done, and the amendments became law in 1791. One early amendment involved the method of choosing a president and vice president. In America's first presidential elections, whoever received the most votes became president. The candidate who received the second highest number of votes became vice president. The Constitution was changed after separate political parties developed. Then ballots began to list the names of separate candidates for president and vice president. There were no other amendments for 60 years. The next one was born in the blood of the Civil War. During the war, President Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation. That document freed the slaves in the states that were rebelling against the Union. Later, the 13th Amendment banned slavery everywhere in the country, but Lincoln never lived to see it. He was shot a week after the South surrendered. The 14th Amendment, approved in 1868, said no state could limit the rights of any citizen. And the 15th, approved 2 years later, said a person's right to vote could not be denied because of his race, color, or former condition of slavery. By the 1890s, the federal government needed more money than it was receiving from taxes on imports. It wanted to establish a tax on earnings. It took 20 years to win approval for the 16th Amendment. The amendment permits the government to collect income taxes. Another amendment proposed in the early 1900s was designed to change the method of electing United States senators. For more than 100 years, senators were elected by the legislatures of their states. The 17th Amendment, approved in 1913, gave the people the right to elect senators directly. In 1919, the states approved an amendment to ban the production, transportation, and sale of alcohol. Alcohol was prohibited. It could not be produced or sold legally anywhere in the United States. The amendment, however, did not stop the flow of alcohol. Criminal organizations found many ways to produce and sell it illegally. Finally, after 13 years, Americans decided that prohibition had failed. It caused more problems than it solved. So in 1933, the states approved another constitutional amendment to end the ban on alcohol. Other amendments in the 20th century include one that gives women the right to vote. It became part of the Constitution in 1920. Another amendment limits a president to 2 4-year terms in office. And the 26th Amendment gives the right to vote to all persons who are at least 18 years old. The 27th Amendment has one of the strangest stories of any amendment to the United States Constitution. This amendment establishes a rule for increasing the pay of senators and representatives. It says there must be an election between the time Congress votes to increase its pay and the time the pay raise goes into effect. The amendment was first proposed in 1789. Like all amendments, it needed to be approved by 3/4 of the states. This did not happen until 1992. So one of the first amendments to be proposed was the last amendment to become law. The 27 amendments added to the Constitution have not changed the basic system of government in the United States. The government still has 3 separate and equal parts: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. The 3 parts balance each other. No part is greater than another. The first American states had no strong central government when they fought their War of Independence from Britain in 1776. They cooperated under an agreement called the Articles of Confederation. The agreement provided for a Congress, but the Congress had few powers. Each state governed itself. When the war ended, the states owed millions of dollars to their soldiers. They also owed money to European nations that had supported the Americans against Britain. The new United States had no national money to pay the debts. There was an American dollar, but not everyone used it, and it did not have the same value everywhere. The situation led to economic ruin for many people. They could not pay the money they owed. They lost their property. They were put in prison. Militant groups took action to help them. They interfered with tax collectors. They terrorized judges and burned court buildings. The situation was especially bad in the northeast part of the country. In Massachusetts, a group led by a former soldier tried to seize guns and ammunition from the state military force. Shays' Rebellion, as it was called, was stopped. But from the north to the south, Americans were increasingly worried and frightened. Would the violence continue? Would the situation get worse? Many Americans distrusted the idea of a strong central government. After all, they had just fought a war to end British rule. Yet Americans of different ages, education, and social groups felt that something had to be done. If not, the new nation would fail before it had a chance to succeed. These were the opinions and feelings that led, in time, to the writing of the United States Constitution.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.